Last time I said going it alone is the fragile choice. And I want to give the first word this episode to the men who pushed back, because Danny spoke for a lot of you and he said it cleanly. Danny's 38. He spent 6 years in the military. He put it this way, so I'm supposed to be needy now? Lean on everybody, can't stand on my own two feet? That's not strength. That's the soft world we're already drowning in. That's not a cheap objection. That's a man who built himself up from the ground when nobody was coming to help him, and he's right to be suspicious of anything that sounds like it wants to take that away. So let's do something I think Danny deserves. Let's take his side of the argument seriously, all the way to the end, before we turn it over. Because I think when we do, we're going to find that he's not wrong about the value. He's just missing one piece of the picture, and it's the piece that changes everything. So here's Danny's case, made as well as it can be made, and it's a strong one. Being able to carry your own weight is real and good. A man who can fix what breaks, earn his own way, handle a hard situation without falling apart, without needing someone to rescue him. That man is an asset. His people can count on him. He doesn't make other people's lives harder. In a world where a lot of people arrive at a problem expecting someone else to solve it, a man who can stand on his own is genuinely rare and worth being. There's a reason we teach kids self-reliance. A 7-year-old who can't tie his own shoes yet is fine. A 40-year-old man who can't function without someone managing him is not. The ability to stand on your own is something you earn, and once you have it, you don't want to give it up, and you shouldn't. None of what I'm about to say asks you to. If anything, I think the case for a crew, for a clan, starts with men who already know how to stand on their own. The strongest clans in history weren't built from helpless people who needed a group because they couldn't function alone. They were built from capable people who chose to combine their strength. That's a different thing entirely. So if independence is genuinely good, where does it go wrong? Not in the value itself. The value is real. The problem lives in a story, a particular story that a lot of men absorbed without noticing, usually before they were old enough to question it. The story goes like this. The real strong man needs no one. He handles everything himself. Asking for help is a sign you couldn't handle it. Relying on other people is a weakness you need to work past, not a normal part of being human. This story shows up in almost every hero we got handed as boys. The lone gunslinger who rides in, fixes everything, and rides out alone. The action hero who trusts nobody. The self-made man who got there by himself and owes nothing to anyone. We absorb the strength in these stories because there is some strength in there. What we didn't notice is what got cut out of the picture. These heroes have no one who would sit with them at 4 in the morning, no one who'd notice if they disappeared, no one to build anything lasting with. We borrowed the grit and left out the rest of a life. The myth says needing people is the opposite of strength. That's the part that isn't true, and it's worth looking at closely, because a lot of damage runs on that fuel. Here's the thing about that myth. It's not just a story. It has costs that show up in the body, not just in how a man feels on a bad day. Researchers have been tracking this for a while now, and the findings keep landing in the same place, men who are cut off from close ties, from people who actually know them, who'd notice if something went wrong, face real health risks that rival smoking. Not loneliness as a mood, but isolation as a physical condition that the body reads as danger and responds to accordingly. Now, I'm not going to turn this into a statistics lesson, but I want you to sit with the plain version for a second. The human body was not built to operate alone for long stretches. It treats sustained isolation the way it treats a threat. That's not a cultural attitude or a soft feeling. That's how the wiring works, across cultures, across centuries, going back further than any of the stories we were handed about lone heroes. This isn't an argument against solitude. Solitude, time alone to think and recover, is valuable and different. This is about the long game, what it costs a man to have no one who really knows him over years. The body keeps that score whether the man is keeping it or not. Now, here's the part I think Danny already knows, even if he hasn't put words around it. Because Danny spent time around men who actually go into hard places. In the military, the unit is not a nice bonus. The unit is the whole thing. There's research going back decades studying what keeps soldiers going under pressure, what holds when everything else falls away. And the answer that keeps coming back is not individual toughness. It's the bond. The men beside you, the knowledge that they're there and that you'd do the same for them. Individual toughness gets you into the fight. The bond is what keeps you in it. Now think about that for a second. The places in the world where we find the toughest, most capable men, the warrior traditions, the military units, the crews who work in dangerous jobs, these are not cultures of independence. They are cultures of fierce, non-optional mutual loyalty. The lone samurai, the Ronin, had lost his clan. In the tradition he came from, that wasn't freedom. That was the worst thing that could happen to a warrior. He still had all his skill. He still had his strength. But he'd lost the thing that made it mean something. The myth of the lone warrior hero is a story someone wrote. The actual warriors wrote a different one, and it's about belonging to a pack that would follow you into anything. Let me give Danny one more shot, because he's earned it. He might say, okay, fine, a unit is great in the military, but civilian life isn't the military. You pick your team in combat. Out here, you don't get to pick. Most men I've tried to get close to either disappeared or wanted something from me. Where are these people you're talking about? That's not a dodge. That's a real problem. Most men have tried this. They grew up being told to make friends, and it turned out harder than that. They got burned. They leaned on someone who wasn't there when it mattered. So they pulled back, and going it alone felt clean by comparison. I hear that. It is cleaner. The road is clean. No one lets you down if no one's walking beside you. The question is what you're paying for clean. A man walking alone doesn't get betrayed. He also doesn't get called at midnight by someone who trusts him enough to fall apart. He doesn't get the look that says, I know what you went through, I was there. He doesn't get someone who'll move a couch at 7 in the morning because he needs it moved. The road is clean, but it's also just a road. And at some point, every man asks himself whether he's been walking it long enough. That's the question. Not, are you weak? Not, are you needy? The question is, what do you actually want to build? And can you build it alone? So let's say you want to build something, not just a longer solo road. Something that lasts past you, that means something to other people, that has others in it who'd come if you called. What does that actually look like for a man who already values his ability to stand alone? This is the part I want to be careful about, because a lot of the language around this goes soft in ways that lose Danny, and that would be a mistake. A clan isn't a therapy group. It's not a feeling circle. It's not a support network you attend once a week and then go back to being alone. A pack is a group of people who each bring something real, who have actually proven something to each other, who have a claim on each other built from showing up over time. A brotherhood isn't joined by saying, you're in it. It's earned by being there when it's hard, by being the man your crew can count on, which, if you notice, starts from exactly the same place. Danny already lives, being capable, being reliable, being someone who carries his weight. You don't have to get soft to belong to a clan. You have to be someone worth belonging to. The difference between a Ronin and a Clanman isn't that one is tough and one isn't. It's that one is only ever useful to himself and one is useful to a crew, and that crew, when it matters, is useful back. There's a shape to what I'm describing, and I want you to see it. Because it connects this show back to everything else we're building here, and it connects Danny to Priya and Sam and every other person trying to figure out why going it alone always eventually runs out of road. A man alone is a well. Everything flows out of him, nothing comes back. He can be strong for a long time, but the well has a bottom, and every well eventually runs dry. A man with a crew is different. And here's the specific part, not because the crew takes care of him, that's the needy version Danny doesn't want. But because, in a real clan, every man brings something, every man has something to give, every man is needed, and in that shape, the giving that flows between people comes back around. Not because anyone's keeping score, because that's what happens when capable people share a center. The jar at the middle of the fire is the whole town's strength combined. Nobody could carry that alone. Together, it doesn't feel like carrying. It feels like being held up by something bigger than any one man could make. That's what you can't build on a solo road, not because you're not strong enough. Because one man's strength, no matter how real, has a limit, and the jar doesn't. All right, let's bring it to you. Because this isn't interesting if it stays a story about Danny and the Ronin. I want to ask you three honest questions, and I'd actually like you to sit with each one before moving on. First, what in your life are you carrying alone that a crew would make lighter? Not because you can't carry it, you probably can. But is there something you've been managing solo, out of habit or pride, that would go better with one or two people who actually knew what you were dealing with? Second, who are the two or three men in your life who, if you called at a hard moment, you'd trust to actually pick up? If you can't name two, that's the real answer. Not to the question I asked, but to the question this whole show is circling. And third, what are you bringing? Because a real clan isn't built from need. It's built from people who each carry something worth having. What do you bring that makes the men around you stronger, more capable, more connected? That's the question that earns your place at the fire. Those three questions together, what you're carrying alone, who'd pick up, what you bring, that's the map. Everything we're going to do in this show starts from where you honestly land on those three. So here's your one thing this week, and I want to be clear about what it is and what it isn't. It is not open up or be vulnerable or share your feelings, because that advice, while not wrong exactly, doesn't land for most men and it doesn't have to. This week, give one man in your life something real. That's it, not a message that says, "I've been thinking about you," although that's not nothing. Something with actual weight, a skill you have that he needs, a piece of information that would help him, your time on a problem he's stuck on, a connection to someone he should know. The give has to be real. Your strength, offer to someone else's situation. That's the first move from Ronin to clan. You're not joining anything. You're not declaring brotherhood. You're just doing the thing that capable men do for each other. The thing that, over time and with the right people, becomes something that goes both ways. One give. Real. This week. And when you do it, notice what you feel. Not the soft version, just whether it felt more like the road or more like the fire. That's data. So that's Danny's objection, taken all the way seriously and answered as honestly as I know how. Independence is real. It's earned. It's worth keeping. The myth wrapped around it, that needing a crew makes you less of a man. That part isn't true, and the places in the world where the toughest men have ever lived knew it wasn't true. They built clans. They built packs. They built the thing where one man's strength goes into the center and comes back bigger than any one man could carry. That's not the soft path. That's the harder, longer, more demanding one, because it asks you to be someone worth belonging to and to actually show up for others the way you'd want them to show up for you. Next time, we look at the one habit that separates the men who build that crew from the ones who stay on the road. And it's so simple that most men have already done it at least once and not noticed. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.